Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Yes, sirree, that is the sound of rock cracking once again on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. And you can't tell that's a rock splitting, or as Steve Bannon might have said, it might have been Don Jr.'s head cracking like an egg on national TV. Well, that's paraphrasing what Steve Bannon was supposedly it said to author Michael Wolff, and last week introduced a book called Fire and Fury Inside the Trump White House. And amidst a bunch of fire and fury, that's a publicity dream to have the president of the United States actually trying to stop the book. It will cause more sales. And I'm laughing a little bit because can you imagine how to start off 2018 with Donald Trump in a feud with Steve Bannon across the national airwaves? Well, we're going to talk about that. And I'm laughing because I just can't help but seeing the liberals drooling. They hated Steve Bannon. I mean, they despised Steve Bannon. They couldn't wait to get him out of the White House, worked to get him kicked out of the White House, and now they love what Michael Wolff is saying, Steve Bannon said in his book, and it's causing a lot of upheaval as far as upset folks in the White House, and it's bringing Trump closer to the establishment Republicans. So what does Doc Holliday think about Steve Bannon and the Trump feud? Well, we're going to talk about that on today's show. So stay tuned. And I'm going to tell you something that in the economy that has never happened before in the history of the stock market right here in the United States of America. So stay tuned. First, I want you to listen to this, and then we're going to kick off the show, and I'm going to tell you what happened in stock market that's never happened in the history of the United States. It happened just last year, 2017. So take a listen to this first, and then we're going to get into a great show that I don't know how it's going to end, folks. We'll just get going here. We got some clips we're going to get to you. 2018, yes, I told you that when Donald Trump got elected, the rock splitting politics, there's not another show that I know of has a better title of what's going on. Not every now and then. I mean, it's every day there's rock splitting going on in America, starting in the White House right there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. And you're listening to it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Take a listen to this. Why did I just play some Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds back from the 60s drug days, Beatles? Because I think it's like we stepped into a dream when this Trump and Bannon feud started out. So I just had to play something that it makes really no sense, because this feud makes no sense. And I wanted to get that right off my chest. So the Beatles, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Maybe that makes more sense than this Trump Bannon feud, but I do have some comments, and we're going to listen to some clips. Before we do, I told you, there's something happened in 2017 that had never happened before in the history of the stock market in the United States of America. Now, what happened last year? Well, for the first time in all of history of the stock market, since it started in the United States back 1700s, late 1700s, right there in Wall Street, New York. Well, something's happened only three other years, 1958, 1995, and 2006. And it came close on those years to do what 2017 did when Donald Trump became president. And no president, and all the presidents have ever had the honor to be president of the United States, none of them did what happened under Donald Trump's first year in the presidency. No president ever did it if they were in there 4 years, 8 years, or like FDR, or what was it, 13 years or more, 14 years. So I just have to say, wow. In 2017, the United States stocks, the stocks ended every single month in the green. They went up and up and up and up continually. You know, usually you go up a couple months, three, 4 months in a good year, like 1958, 1995, 2006, stock markets did good, and every month but one. They went up every month for 11 months. But in 2017, the stock market went up every month, had a positive ending every month. Never has happened before. It happened last year. You are living witnesses of it. And what happened in 2018? How did the year start? Well, they've gone up. It shot right through to 25,000. The Dow Jones average shot through the 25,000 mark. I mean, when Trump was elected, what was it, like 17,000, 18,000? And it went up, that were, you know, 25% up to 24,000 the first two or three days. It shot right through 25,000, hitting new records. The NASDAQ, S&P 500, they keep making record after record. And everybody says, you know, what goes up must come down. Get ready for a crash. But the economy is gaining steam that we haven't seen in years. You know, under Barack Obama, we never could get a full year of 3% growth, not in 8 years. Stock market rebounded well after it bottomed out during Obama's presidency. It rebounded, but never did the economy get picked up over 3%. It was just almost, it's like water was in the engines. Gasoline just couldn't fuel the economy like it should. But under President Trump now, we've had 3% growth for three quarters. We'll see when all the final figures come in, but there's optimism. And if this tax cut, there's companies are giving out bonuses, not just one or two. They're all over the country now. We're hearing about bonuses going out to employees. And of course, the Democrats said, well, the middle class won't see any of this tax cut. It all will go to the rich corporations. They won't pay their taxes. Well, now, let's settle something. You know, I've said that before. Corporations don't pay taxes. The people do. When you put the taxes on a corporation, they don't just have extra money. They pay the taxes. No, whatever product they make, what they manufacture, they raise the price, and the people who buy it pay the taxes. It's just simple, simple logic, common sense. You know, the corporations aren't paying the taxes. It's the people who buy the products. And that puts us at a disadvantage. And, you know, now we got this worldwide market around the globe. We got trading partners. We got people we need to be trading with. We need to improve our trading. That's what Donald Trump's working at. And you got people saying, oh, the corporations, they got to pay their fair share. Well, the people who buy the products paid a fair share. It's not fair is what I'm trying to say. When American companies have such high taxes that they have to raise the price of their products and compete against other countries. So we'll see how this tax cut goes. But the Democrats fought it every way they could. Every way they could. In 2017, how many of the mainstream media outlets have you heard them positively talk about the stock market having one of its best years ever? I remember during the 90s, in the mid-90s, when the stock market was really going crazy. That's when Alan Greenspan, who was head of the Federal Reserve then, talked about irrational exuberance. You remember those two words, irrational exuberance? And the market kept going up, and Clinton was president, and press and the media went wild over the stock market, pushing it and talking about all the good news, rosy outlook under Bill Clinton. Well, have you heard any of that under Donald Trump? No. Do you remember, I talked about this a year or so ago, I said under 8 years of Obama, how many national news stories did you hear about homelessness and the homeless? It's like we didn't have any homeless people anywhere under Barack Obama, did we? Well, they were out there, but we didn't have their stories. How many stories are you starting hearing about the homeless now? Like it's Donald Trump's fault. Well, they were as many under Barack Obama, but you never heard the national news stories. But yeah, they'll be coming on strong now because, again, they'll do anything to make America feel like it's a horrible, we're under horrible leadership, it's a horrible time. And then you got the stock market busted through 25,000, and everybody, this is the thing that people don't understand. Oh, well, Wall Street's doing good, but all the poor people down, they're not. Look, when companies are growing, they're adding jobs, and those jobs will compete for more jobs, and it's building ladders to success. Three words I want you to understand. Upward economic mobility. That produces ladders toward success in all different fields. The government cannot dictate, we're going to build a ladder here and everybody climb up and you're going to get, you know, upward economic mobility. It comes from capitalism. It comes from what's needed. It comes from entrepreneurs who think, this is a product that I would like and I think other Americans will like it. Let's build it. Let's design it. What do you think is going on? What about Grubhub? Have you seen the ads for Grubhub? Well, they go out and they'll bring food to your house. They'll go out to a restaurant that you want and pick the meal up. And all you got to do is let them know what you want. They'll go get it for you. What now? Who came up with that and put it together? Well, you can invest in it if you want to right now on Wall Street. But there's thousands of ideas, and they're not all going to work out, not all going to be perfect. But the government can't dictate and say, this is what we're going to do, we're going to build it, because then you got all the red tape in it. It's let capitalism work, and when you got a booming economy, it's not booming yet, but it could be. And once we do, you see more and more entrepreneurs, and they're the ones who will help make America great again. All right, I told you we're going to get to the Steve Bannon feud and with Donald Trump, and we got some clips we want to play. Before we get there, I want to remind you, you're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. Let me take this time to welcome the new listeners who may be tuning in for the first time to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We have archive shows. You can go back. If you want to go back and relive 2016 and the presidential primaries and leading up to the general election, go back in the archives. Look through 2016. We had some very interesting shows that year. Very, very good. We had great shows last year. Go back and hit the highlights of that. And you'll see sort of the pick of what was going on in 2017. But isn't it great that 2018 is start? I mean, could I go back and do a whole show on numerous amounts of stories out there? Everything from Jeff Sessions and his federal marijuana laws he's looking to uphold, and and then we can go back. We can talk about anything from Steve Bannon and his work with Judge Roy Moore and that unsuccessful bid for the Senate in Alabama, and what does that mean? And then, like I said, last week, just everything from Little Rocket Man and the tweets of Donald Trump. And while we're saying that, just let me remind you, when we talk about rock-splitting politics, Twitter and President Trump keeps the rocks falling in this landscape of broken rocks everywhere. Now, saying that, is Steve Bannon a broken rock? Is Steve Bannon, has he had his head cracked like an egg, like he said Don Jr. would have done to him? Well, let's talk about this feud. Before I give you my comments, let me play a couple clips. There's a couple minutes here. There's one from NBC News. Let's take a listen to these the liberal news organizations. See if there's a little glee in the way they say this.
Tonight, President Trump publicly holding his fire amid a mounting feud with his former top aide, Steve Bannon.
I don't know. He called me a great man last night. So, you know, he obviously changed his tune pretty quick. I don't talk to him. That's just a misnomer.
Bannon playing cleanup on his radio show.
The President of the United States is a great man. You know, I support him day in and day out.
But behind the scenes, the president still fuming, according to several aides, after Bannon questioned the president's grasp of policy in the new book, Fire and Fury, and even accused Mr. Trump's son and son-in-law of treason for meeting with a Russian lawyer during the campaign. On Wednesday, the president excoriated Bannon, saying he'd lost his mind. Now the president's legal team is threatening to sue Bannon, the book's author, and the publisher, the White House lashing out.
There are numerous mistakes, but I'm not going to waste my time or the country's time going page by page talking about a book that's complete fantasy and just full of tabloid gossip.
But tonight, new shockwaves after author Michael Wolff raised questions about the president's mental fitness in an article in The Hollywood Reporter, writing the president repeats himself. Everybody was painfully aware of the increasing pace of his repetitions. The White House defiant.
It's disgraceful and laughable. If he was unfit, he probably wouldn't be sitting there and wouldn't have defeated the most qualified group of candidates the Republican Party has ever seen.
And tonight, growing questions about whether Steve Bannon is losing his influence as a number of Republicans are siding with Mr. Trump. The White House asked if Bannon should be fired from conservative media outlet Breitbart News.
Something they should look at and consider.
And while Bannon hasn't disputed any of his quotes in the book, a number of other former Trump aides have said they were misquoted. But tonight, the author and publisher say they stand by the account.
Well, some people are thinking, is this a late Christmas gift for the liberal press? That's something to just to feed into, have a feeding frenzy, just a feud between Donald Trump, President of the United States, and Steve Bannon, who a lot of people attribute his bulldog power of helping the Trump campaign get together and win the presidency. So how much influence does Steve Bannon really have? Well, that's all been debated, and now we see this feud, and where does it go? What does it mean? I do want to say that it did surprise me. It came right out of left field and slapped me over the head, and I think one of the commentators said it's like when President Trump tweeted back about Steve Bannon had lost his mind when he was not only fired, but he lost his mind, but it's like hitting Steve Bannon over the head of a 2x4. Well, the press definitely is gleeful, the mainstream media, of what's going on. But, you know, there's always some silver lining. I don't know where this thing's going to play out. Steve Bannon is a very smart guy. I do believe that he would love to rally the people who are fed up with Washington, like he is, to just clean house. And I think that's what really he wants to see. He wanted to see, and he felt like he was like surfing a wave there at the White House where he could literally help cause this righteous type anger to rise up and throw everybody out and replace them with people that Steve Bannon would like to pick. It didn't happen in Alabama. And it may, it seems like some of the candidates that wanted to run with his backing, they are backing a little bit away from Steve Bannon. So what else? Well, listen to this clip from ABC. Take a listen to this.
Together, they promise to make America great again.
I like Steve a lot.
Donald Trump was the best candidate I think we had since Ronald Reagan.
But as of tonight, their bromance is now bust.
You thought 2017 was just unpredictable. We're 3 days into the new year, and this is unreal.
Steve Bannon quoted in a new book, reportedly using words like treasonous and unpatriotic to characterize that June 2016 meeting at Trump Tower with a Russian lawyer claiming to have dirt on Hillary Clinton. Tonight, the president's lawyers are telling Bannon to cease and desist his disparaging comments.
Curious, disgusted would probably certainly fit.
The president isn't happy at all.
Going after the president's son in an absolutely outrageous and unprecedented way is probably not the best way to curry favor with anybody.
According to the book, Fire and Fury, by journalist Michael Wolff, Bannon says they should have called the FBI immediately. And Bannon reportedly predicts they're going to crack Don Jr. like an egg on national TV. For today's White House briefing, Trump's reaction to Bannon actually drew more questions than his war of words with North Korea's leader, even though Trump and Kim Jong-un have been trading taunts about nuclear missiles. Just last night, Trump tweeted his nuclear button is much bigger and more powerful than Kim's. With Bannon, Trump really took off the gloves, issuing not merely a tweet, but a formal White House statement shunning his former chief strategist. The president of the United States writing, "Steve Bannon has nothing to do with me or my presidency. When he was fired, he not only lost his job, he lost his mind." Trump.
Well, I will tell you this. I believe the press is always going to love it when they say Steve Bannon has lost his mind and President Trump said that. And it's easy to say, oh, yes, Steve Bannon has lost his mind. There's no doubt that Steve Bannon is a very, very smart person. I believe he doesn't see things the way most Americans see things. As far as I'm talking about the pundits, I mean, he is brilliant in a way that he sees over what the pundits see as clouds. That's why he got behind Donald Trump and helped Donald Trump get into the White House. But nobody's perfect in this world. Steve Bannon's not perfect. Donald Trump's not perfect. I'm not perfect. And Doc Holliday be the first to admit that. But you got to work with others knowing that everyone has some weaknesses. Everyone needs some help and surround themselves with good people. And I always wanted Steve Bannon to stay in the White House because I thought he would be able to rally, be a counterweight to some of the liberals, the more liberal-minded people that are advising the president. So where does that conservative anchor come from now? Well, I think a lot of it has to come from people like Mark Meadows and people in Congress. And maybe this is the part that Donald Trump is growing into the presidency, as I see it, is realizing that how to make law. You know, the Senate Republicans failed on repealing and replacing Obamacare. They've repealed in the tax cut the Obama mandate, Obamacare mandate. You have to buy insurance, which they're going to have to do something. And, you know, Doc Holliday's got a plan on that, and I'm hoping maybe next week's show to bring that out or look at some more plans that can replace Obamacare. But I do want to say what we're hearing about of all this Trump-Bannon feud, I think it can be a good thing. There never needs to be a civil war within the Republican Party when they're trying to govern. And as much as you may not like a Republican, you got to go back to the Reagan doctrine. When Ronald Reagan said, you know, the 11th commandment, you don't speak ill of another Republican. When you realize it's hard to get together a coalition And so many times Republicans work from the mindset as being in a minority party. And I believe there's some Republicans are still in that mindset and always trying to please the press. And Steve Bannon was one that will see things that he wants to get done with brute strength when you get the numbers. And he wants the numbers of people who won't be timid, won't be milk toast when it comes to standing up for something like repealing and replacing Obamacare. And he saw it cave in. And you know, to the credit, and I've said it here on Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics, the tax cut reform bill that passed and the president signed right before Christmas is not my favorite. It's not the best, but it's a step forward. That's the way I see it. But you have to have people in place in the Congress, Senate and the House, who can work together as Republicans and try to find some conservative Democrats. It's hard to do. Have the Democrats ever allowed one of theirs to come over and help on major legislation? Obviously, the answer is no. And this is the thing that I think Donald Trump is growing into the presidency. And 2018 needs to be a year that Republicans can work together, and there will be need to be primaries, but there needs to be this, we got to get rid of this feud that lingers on. If, you know, get in the primaries, do your very best, Republican versus Republican, as one man sharp, as iron sharpens iron, so shall one man sharpen another, going back from the Proverbs in the Bible, and that's how Republicans should do, sharpen each other up. But when someone wins, get behind that person and stand up for that person, stand up for the party, because as much as you may not like the Republican parties, until you instill another party, it's the only avenue, the only vehicle, the only way and journey that we have to move to more conservative government. There's not another way, you know, unless you, I think Black Lives Matter and some on the left want to burn down the whole house. They want to start over and get rid of the Constitution and all these things. Conservatives want to build on the Constitution. So we got to learn how to not take our marbles up and go home when we get beat. And that's everything from elections to dog catcher to president. And what I mean by that, look at Ted Cruz. I think he's a beautiful example of what happens. He fought Donald Trump tooth and nail. Donald Trump said some things that were very vicious to his family. And Trump was being Trump. But Senator Cruz, to his credit, got behind Donald Trump and help him win there, especially the last few weeks for the election, the general election in 2016. But since then, Ted Cruz has kept pushing his ideas. Just for example, in this last tax cut bill, he put in a provision, an amendment, and he tried to get some Democratic support. Almost had Senator Manchin from West Virginia to help him out on parts of it, but the Democrats just rounded up over him and kept him from trying to help out Ted Cruz at all. And of all things, I mentioned on this show, they ripped out the part of helping children with disabilities, of the 529 education fund helping children with disabilities and homeschoolers. It's like the Democrats couldn't stand anything but to help someone that didn't come through a public school. But that's what I like about Ted Cruz. He keeps fighting and comes up with fresh new ideas. He's the one that said, let's put the Obama mandate by having to buy insurance, let's repeal that in this tax cut. That was a Ted Cruz idea. That's the kind of leadership we need. That's the kind of conservative we need, that you may get beaten in an election, but don't let it stop you from thinking, from contemplating, and putting forward things and moving legislation that will move America further to the right with conservative ideas. There's a lot coming on with technology, a lot of things called blockchains that I've talked about, and that's what I want to do with the health care. We have to work together as conservatives, because now this nation will be going under these technological changes that if we can stay with power in the House and the Senate and the White House a little bit longer, we will help decide how these blockchains are put together to help make government smaller and not a government that continues to grow a deficit and continues to grow by laying year after year trillions of dollars in more debt. That's what we've got to use to new technology to bring down this debt monster and make sanity and common sense a word that once again comes to Washington, D.C. That's where this Donald Trump and Steve Bannon feud, the part I like about it is it got some fiery passions going. All Republicans need to look and say, yes, we can have primaries, but let's all work together. And if you don't win one race, run in another one. Go help. There's so much in this new technology that we need people and leaders willing to roll up the shirt sleeves and not go in this, you know, just 2 or 3 years ago, so much has changed with Donald Trump being the president of the United States. Our country is undergoing monumental shaking, and we have to have smart conservatives who know how to see beyond the years and put in place the foundations that will help grow this nation toward the right and toward the righteous ideas that we were built on. Biblical foundations that are for the future generations. It's up to us, folks. We can do it. That's why you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I appreciate you, new listeners. Keep coming back. Tell your friends and neighbors about Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And next week, I do hope to be talking more about how to replace Obamacare. The Republicans have never got a plan they could agree on, or they would have done it. So take a listen to next week's show. We're going to introduce something new that you never heard before about health care for America. God bless you. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.